This is Radio 4. Now we conclude our series, The Great Scott, with a dramatisation of Walter Scott's first novel, Waverley, with David Tennant as the author.
Why would a young Englishman from a good family betray his country? Why fight alongside barbarian hill tribes against his own comrades? Was it political fanaticism? Or political confusion? Had he simply read too many romances? Or was it all for love? We present Waverley by Walter Scott. Adapted for radio by Mike Harris. Our story begins in 1744. A French invasion force has been driven back by storms in the Channel. It was carrying Charles Edward Stuart, the so-called young pretender to the throne of England. When he returns to France, bonny Prince Charlie vows to invade England alone. He hopes to rally the Highland clans to the old Stuart cause, and if necessary, he will promise them a Scotland free once more of the hated union with England.
Captain Edward Waverley reporting for duty, Colonel Gardiner. With 30 fresh recruits from my uncle's estate. Sir! Captain Edward Waverley, reporting...
Heard your first time, Captain. Sir Everard Waverley.
I'm sorry?
Any relation?
He's my uncle, sir.
And this would be the Everard Waverley who aided and abetted the Highland savages last time they tried to invade us?
That was a long time ago, and he's an old man now who...
Only escaped the noose because he had equally treacherous friends in high places.
My father was a loyal minister in King George's government, sir.
But your daddy's dead, laddie. He didn't bring you up, and your Jacobite uncle did, so... What are you?
An officer and a gentleman.
Why'd your uncle buy your commission?
Because I wanted to serve my country.
Read that. Corporal!
Sir?
Oh, my God.
Get me Evan Dew.
Yes, sir. How did you...
Had your kit searched.
With respect, sir, I must...
Shut up, damn you. I'm an officer, but I'm not a bloody gentleman, Waverley. My uncle couldn't afford to buy me a commission, so I rose to this giddy eminence on a pile of dead frogs. So, why has yours given you an intro to that thieving traitor, Fergus MacIver?
MacIver's father was an old friend who...
Your uncle saved from hanging in 1715?
I believe so.
You believe so? Or you know so?
The latter.
You know what I know? Well, do you?
No, sir.
I know there are 30,000 Highland savages waiting for one word from MacIver and the rest of the bloody chiefs, and they'll come charging out the hills screaming for our blood. You know what else I know?
No, sir.
I know we bugger all to stop them with, because the army's pissing around in Flanders defending the interests of that fat fraud King George in Hanover. So, tell me why I should let you and your uncle's fifth column anywhere near my men.
I'll prove my loyalty.
How?
Give me a mission.
Oh, be careful what you wish for, laddie.
It doesn't matter how dangerous, sir.
Oh, it'd be dangerous, all right.
I'm not afraid.
Then you bloody well should be. Because I need to know what MacIver's up to now the frog invasion's failed, and Charlie Boy is threatening to pay us a visit anyway. And the last officer I sent up there came back in a coffin in a state of intimate mutilation. Oh, but you've got an invite, so you should be safe enough, right?
I...
What?
I'd feel I was abusing MacIver's hospitality if I was to spy on him.
Not gentlemanly.
Hardly, sir.
Dew is waiting outside, sir.
Good. I'm lending you one of our Highland savages to make sure your gentlemanly carcass arrives at MacIver's in one piece. That'll be all.
Sir, I really...
Or I can clap you in irons for disobeying orders. Which do you prefer?
And so, Waverley sets off on a week-long, rain-sodden journey north. Escorted by Evan Dew, a private in the King's Regiment of Black Watch. So called because their tartan was a shade darker than the tartans of the Highland clans they were supposed to be policing.
Does it never stop raining?
Can I hear you, sir?
Moors and mountains, mountains and bloody moors.
Aye, don't you miss out the treacherous bogs, sir? A land is like its people, and this is Campbell territory. It's a wee bit bonnier in mine.
And where's that?
2 days north of Glencoe, sir.
Near MacIver's country.
It is MacIver's country, sir.
What do you mean?
Fergus MacIver's my laird, sir.
Does Colonel Gardiner know this?
That's no secret, sir. Fergus MacIver commands the watch up there.
Why on earth would the king put a known enemy
because
in charge of...
Because your regular redcoat wouldn't come north of the Great Glen for fear of getting his pasty gizzard slit. And we wouldn't serve under a lowland dirt digger. So your King George had no option but to offer us his shilling and put MacIver in charge of the ones that took it.
What was that?
Musket ball, sir.
Is someone shooting at us?
I would say so, sir.
My God!
Keep the pistol in your saddle, sir.
Get your hands off me, man, or I'll...
Do as I say. There's a good officer. For the man that shot at us is standing on the rock just up there, see? And he wouldn't miss next time, believe me.
Oh, you know him?
It's the Lean, sir.
Who the hell is that?
Donald Ben Lean's killed more redcoats and taken more cattle than any man alive. He's a kind of kinsman to Fergus MacIver, and...
Is Fergus aware that his kinsman is a thief and a murderer?
Ah! Ah! Hell's teeth! That's hit me! I'm wounded!
Just a wee nick, sir. He's getting impatient, wants us to follow now, see? So I think we'll be doing that, don't you? Well, sir, you're in luck. Sorry, sir, let's get this out of your mouth. There you go.
Well, forgive me if being gagged and tied naked in a freezing cave doesn't strike me as luck.
I mean, he doesn't want to kill you anymore.
So what does he want?
Nothing.
Then why the hell did he bring us here?
Well, he saw your uniform. Didn't he recognise me in the watch tartan, and before he slit your throat, he had a mind to know more about the redcoat dispositions in the lowlands.
Tell him I'd die a thousand deaths before I'd tell him a single...
I did that, sir. And he was muckle keen to test the proposition until I showed him the letter from your uncle to MacIver. So now we're free to go.
Oh, excellent. Now, please, untie me. Get my clothes and tell those jabbering savages over there to stop pilfering my kit.
And so, in due course, Waverley arrives in the lands of Clan MacIver.
Is that all the land they own?
The land is all MacIver's. He rents it to his taxmen, who in turn make some over to these Humblies.
So these Humblies are merely squatting?
In return for service.
On what kind?
Military, sir. The taxmen are his officers and these are his foot soldiers.
After passing a score of equally pitiful settlements, they come to Fergus MacIver's own residence. A fine Palladian mansion in extensive grounds with exquisite gardens in the latest French manner.
Good Lord.
Did you expect less?
I don't know what I expected.
MacIver was brought up in a place they call Versailles, where I hear the buildings are bigger. And night
on the vale. Who is that?
More than likely MacIver's sister, the Lady Flora. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Where are you going?
To see a man about some cattle he thinks are his, but he's wrong.
Wait!
My task was to deliver you safely, Captain Waverley. The rest is yours. And benumbed
every hand. Miss, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, you're a redcoat.
I mean no harm.
If you value your life, leave now.
What's going on?
I didn't intend
Good
to disturb
God.
The Lady Flora.
This isn't my sister. This is my fiancée, the Lady Rose Bradwardine. And who the hell are you?
My lady, I am Captain Edward Waverley of Gardiner's Dragoons. And you are my Lord MacIver?
What are you doing here, Captain? I've had no notification. Are you alone?
I have come with leave from my commander.
Show me your papers.
My visit is social, so I have only this note. From my uncle, who knew your father?
And then, as quick as the Highland weather, MacIver's grim, stormy manner turns to radiant pleasure.
Why? A Waverley is always welcome, sir, and more. And at the right time, too. The entire clan is gathered in the hall. Come and see for yourself.
Is there some celebration?
With the pretender threatening to pay us a visit, I felt duty-bound to rally my forces to defend King George. Rose, Go find a gilly and tell him to put Waverley's things in one of the East Wing guest rooms.
Yes, master.
Well, my brave laddies, my brave, brave laddies. Eh? It's not often we see a lobster back at this table, is it? Eh? But this one's the nephew of the Waverley, who saved my father's life when the Hanoverian usurpers tried to hang him in 1715. So, will you fill your cups and stand for a toast? To the Waverleys! May they always choose the right side.
To the Waverleys!
Now, I ask my dear sister, who is most certainly watching from the galleries, to sing something appropriate. Piper? Now, don't be shy, Flora.
I'm not shy, Fergus. I'm vexed.
Because I told them you were skulking up there as usual. Well, they knew that already. So, sing for our loyal English friend, will you?
Emblem of England's ancient faith, full proudly lay thy branches wave, where loyalty lies low in death, and valor fills a timeless grave.
It's barely conceivable, but your sister's voice is even sweeter than Miss Bradwardine's.
Well, I wouldn't say that to Rose.
What is she singing?
Some old clan song or other. They're all the same to my ear. But if you want the true meaning, you can ask Flora afterwards.
And so it was, after more piping, toasting and collective boasting than anyone but a clansman could wish for, MacIver eventually led Waverley through a labyrinth of damp corridors to the tower, where his sister, romantically, had her room.
Flora, Captain Waverley is eager to know all about your song at the banquet.
Leave my hair for now, Rose. The song tells of a gallant young Englishman, Mr. Waverley.
Edward.
Edward, who renounced the service of that evil man Cromwell to join King Charles II's forces in Scotland and then died gloriously in the Stuart cause.
Gorily might be more accurate, Mr. Waverley. He was terribly wounded in some futile battle or other, and then had his head removed with a claymore before being stripped of his clothes and hacked to pieces.
Thank you, Rose. Most edifying.
You can go now, Rose. Would you care for a stroll outside, Edward? The sky is clear tonight, so the stars will be exquisite.
The days turn into weeks, and if it hadn't been for Rose Bradwardine's occasional jeremiad, Waverley's military mission and his romantic disposition would have been, in his mind at least, in perfect harmony. For was he not able to observe MacIver drilling his clansmen while simultaneously listening to Lady Flora's marvellous tales of kilted daring do, whilst he fell inexorably in love with her?
Oh, Edward, you are so droll.
Do you not think you should be returning to Edinburgh, Edward?
No, Rose. I've sent Colonel Gardner a letter asking leave to stay a little longer.
But if the Pretender lands...
If Charles Edward Stuart lands, Rose, Captain Waverley will be perfectly pleased to give warning and observe.
That is what I put in the letter.
At my suggestion.
But...
I left my book inside, Rose. Would you be ready and get it for me? Now.
Yes. Of course.
Such an obedient girl.
I am surprised that... I mean, she is betrothed to your brother and...
Yet still happy to serve me. But she had also his ward, Edward. Didn't you know that?
No, I didn't. I mean, how did...
Because when Fergus came back from France to claim back the clan...
Yes?
He was forced to kill her father and all her brothers.
Oh.
After which her mother unfortunately died of grief. Now, why don't you sit next to me instead of pacing about?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Closer.
Yes.
That's better.
And Miss Rose is, happy to be engaged to...
The man who slaughtered her family? No. But the wedding will unite the clan and prevent bloodshed in the future. Now, Edward.
Flora.
Oh, I think that's my brother's hunt starting. Are you joining him?
He did invite me.
You're very pale, Edward. Do you feel unwell?
No, it's just...
What?
Your story.
Ah, I see. Well, this is the Highlands, Edward. Not Bath. Off you go. Or Fergus will be angry.
And so, it is a somewhat unsettled Waverley who joins MacIver at the head of a narrow dead-end valley into which his gillies have driven a large herd of wild deer.
Right, off your horse, laddie.
Yes, of course. Oh, what happens next?
Well, the gillies come out, we go in and shoot them like fish in a barrel. I presume from your continuing presence here that Gardner's permission was forthcoming.
Not exactly. Yeah. This doesn't seem very sporty.
It isn't, old boy. Follow me. And what does not exactly mean?
He hasn't replied.
Oh, there they are. Now cock your musket, quietly as you can.
Perhaps it was the seal.
What seal?
Or rather, the absence of one. My military seal.
Oh.
I seem to have lost it. I was told that a letter with a military seal is more liable to get through.
Not if Ben Lean decided otherwise. Write another, and I'll lend you my seal. He won't intercept one of my letters. Now, nice and slow. We don't want to stampede them because they run faster than we can.
Why aren't the rest of the clan here? I thought
they're looking for Charles Edward Stuart. I sent them to check all the places a ship could get in. Now, hush. Now, walk slowly, steadily, and calmly till we're so close even a musket can't miss. On the ground. What? They're coming at us. Down in your belly if you want to live. Get down!
You're not as hot now.
Oh, Flora, what happened?
It's Rose, not Flora. You've been unconscious for weeks. Your head was kicked. Oh. You could have died. But do you really think she has been tending you? Do you think she wants you for yourself?
I'll take over now, Rose.
I'm perfectly happy to.
I said I'd take over.
Leave us, please.
Flora.
Yes, Edward.
I nearly died. So,
what?
Will you...
What?
Will you marry me?
Well, no. I'm sure you wouldn't have said that if you hadn't been kicked in the head.
Please. I am serious.
I know. And you ask very nicely, and you're a bonny lad. But I could only marry a man who is prepared to fight and die for the Stuarts and for Scotland. And I have no idea yet whether you are such a man... Meantime, since you're awake at last, I have a letter for you.
Who's it from?
It has a military seal, so I dare say Colonel Gardner. Shall I open it?
Oh, please. Has he extended my leave?
Oh, not exactly. He says you disobeyed orders.
When?
And warns that you'll be relieved of your commission if you don't return immediately.
Oh, get it here. Give it here, please. When did it arrive?
A week or so ago.
A week? Why didn't you tell me?
Because you were unconscious.
Oh, you're awake. Thank God.
Gardner threatens to cashier me, Fergus.
He's done more than that. Read this. Back page, second column, bottom.
Got it. Captain Edward Waverley of Gardner's Dragoons has since the 22nd of August, 1744, been deprived of his commission in... I don't believe it.
You're also accused of incitement.
To what?
Mutiny.
That's ridiculous.
Read it. Your uncle's been arrested on suspicion of treason.
Why?
Because Charles Stuart is marching on Edinburgh with a Highland army. If we take it, there are no substantial forces between us and London, and the Hanoverians are terrified of the English Jacobites rising. So they're arresting all the usual suspects, and your uncle's a very famous one, and...
We?
Sorry?
You said if we take it?
Yes.
You've joined the Prince?
Yes.
Then why are you here?
Rallying the clans who are dithering, which is most of them.
It says here that the recruits I brought from my father's estate mutinied and I put them up to it. That's a lie, Fergus. I've had no contact with them since I came up here.
The entire British monarchy is a lie, Edward. There are 50 European royals with a better claim to the throne than King George II, and the Stuarts have the best, except they're Catholics. So we have to be ruled by German mediocrities who don't even speak English.
What am I to do?
Join us, Edward.
What?
Avenge your uncle. Overthrow this tyranny. Take part in the greatest adventure there has ever been. Help us return the one and only rightful king to the throne of his sceptred isles.
Rose?
Have they asked you to join them?
Yes.
And?
The Hanoverians accuse me of mutiny.
You can't join a civil war out of pique, Edward.
They've arrested my uncle.
And because you're infatuated with Flora.
Do you think I'm a child?
Yes. You've seen nothing and done nothing, and you've read too many romances.
Well, I may be a child, but I am not a traitor.
If you join this rebellion, you will be.
So what are you suggesting? And why do you care?
Edward?
Go back to London and clear your name. They're using you.
Who?
Rose?
Coming! If you join them, you sign your uncle's death sentence. Don't you see that? They will hang him then.
What are you doing here?
Bringing Edward my copy of Don Quixote. Good day, Fergus, Flora.
Rose.
Edward, why was the door locked?
That's of no importance, Fergus. The tribute.
Oh, yes. Flora has brought you a precious gift.
My scarf, Edward, embroidered with a Stuart crest.
I don't understand.
When a lady gives a knight her favour, it means...
No, I know what it means. What I mean is I can't accept it. I would like very much, but I... Not yet. I think I must go home.
Why?
To save my uncle's life.
And how will you do that from Carlisle Prison? The road to London will be crawling with redcoats. Every officer with your description.
I have to try.
And if you make it to London, do you think they'll listen? Their main army's in Flanders. They're running scared. They'll string you up out of hand.
That's enough, Fergus. My brother will lend you a guide to help you pass the redcoats.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will. And if Edward will not accept my favour, I would like to give him something else. For what he is doing is very brave and very honourable. Edward, please accept this from me.
What is it?
My translation of the song about Captain Morgan.
If we stay up high, away from the towns, we've half a chance of getting through, sir.
No need for sir, Evan. I'm not an officer anymore.
Now isn't that the English all over? No gratitude. The captain, I mean Mr. Waverley.
What?
Your horse is limping.
Where?
Back leg.
Damnation.
Oh, luckily, there's a wee settlement over the hill.
You said we had to stay clear.
Aye, but the redcoats left Cairnvreckan a week ago. So we should be safe enough. Yep.
Which may once have been the case, but a sullen, cowed populace and the hard stares of several score lowland irregulars clutching muskets in one hand and King James Bibles in the other quickly suggested, even to Waverley's untutored eye, that the situation in Cairnvreckan had changed.
We should turn back.
Too late. Didn't he look right or left?
Stop right there, if you please, gentlemen.
Oh, Christ, it's Gilfillan.
Who?
A mon whose godliness gives the devil a good name. Keep moving.
Now, although, praise God, Gilfillan would have preferred to be fighting the established Kirk of Scotland, it happened that King George was currently short of troops and offered him guns and ammunition, so, for now, his motley band of religious zealots was fighting for him against the Stuarts.
Stop now, or I'll tell my brave, pious laddies to give you a volley.
I think we best stop.
Now, my wee sinners, down you get. Now,
Mr. Waverley.
My name isn't Waverley. What are they doing to him?
Giving him a wee taste of the pains he'll experience in hell for his worship of the great whore.
For heaven's sake, he's not a Catholic. He's...
an Episcopalian. Well, isn't that as bad as no worse?
All right, I'm Waverley. Edward Waverley.
Formerly of Gardiner's Dragoons.
Yes, yes, now stop them.
Did you think they doing it to make you confess?
Yes. Now I have.
No, 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 wee laddie. It is the Lord who beats him, using my men as his strong arm. But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll close the shutters to save your tender sensibilities from further upset. Now, according to the information the Redcoats left behind when they ran away from here, you've bided with the traitor MacIver for some weeks now, yes?
On a mission for Colonel Gardiner.
Which would be why you attended an armed gathering of his clan.
I was told it was a hunt, but yes.
And why you ignored three letters from the Colonel ordering you to abandon your mission and return to Edinburgh while there was still time.
I only had one letter, and before I could...
Do you know the name Houghton?
Houghton? He was one of the recruits I brought from home, a good man, a cooper.
Then you know he incited your recruits to mutiny.
I know no such thing.
For it was you who put him up to it.
Why on earth would I do that?
Because you come from a long line of traitors, sir. You sucked in treason from your mother's tit. And I'd string you up now if I wasn't ordered to take you to Carlisle so you can be hung there instead.
At dawn, General Gilfillan and his ragged column of religious guerrillas set off with Waverley and a badly beaten Evan Dhu on the long road to Carlisle, singing hymns and praising the Lord for bringing them such a singular victory.
Now, Mr. Waverley, I need to catechise you.
Rather not, if that's all right with you.
Well, you have no choice. So, are you a papist like yon savage?
No. I'm a Protestant, as he is.
And what kind of Protestant?
Anglican.
Then you're as damned as he with your surplices and your copes and your vestments and altars, which are nothing more than the filthy cast-off garments of the Babylonian whore that sitteth on the seven hills of...
And while the Reverend Gilfillan was acquainting Waverley with the finer points of the most advanced Presbyterian theology, he was paying no heed to a poor peddler who joined the ranks of his hymn-singing rabble, until the aforesaid peddler let out a strange cry.
With a pillar of fire by night and...
And Gilfillan's catechising was cut short by a musket ball that lodged itself most inconveniently in his throat. At which point, a dozen clansmen, led by Donald Ben Lean, leapt out of the heather, dispatched half of God's ragged army to a far better place, and sent the rest running down the road to Stirling.
Took Edinburgh without a shot, Edward. Some of the garrison are still holed up in the castle, but we expect that to fall soon.
How did you know I'd been captured, Fergus?
I didn't. I feared the worst and told Ben Lean to keep an eye on you, but you'd already been arrested, so he used his initiative. Now, there's someone who's very keen to meet you.
My God.
Never seen a ball before?
Yes, but...
The Stuarts are back in Holyrood Palace, and we have victories to celebrate. And the last Hanoverian force left in Scotland is marching on us. So, we'll do battle tomorrow, and if we beat them, we march on London.
MacIver!
On your knees, laddie.
What?
Is this the famous young man?
The Prince.
Oh, my God.
No need for that, Mr. Waverley. Stand up, please, for it is my privilege to meet you.
At which point, every eye in the great hall of Holyrood Palace was on 21-year-old Waverley and 26-year-old Charles Edward Stuart, the rightful future king of Scotland, England and Ireland, including, as Edward now noted, the dark eyes of the lovely Lady Flora and the paler, more penetrating ones of Rose Bradwardine.
The Hanoverians have treated you shamefully, sir.
I fear so, Your Highness.
Accused of loyalty to me and therefore of treason to them.
Well, that is what I'm accused of.
But not guilty of.
I am not yet committed, Your Highness.
I only want followers from conviction, sir. So if you wish to proceed once more to London, you are free to do so. I will even provide you with a ship. And if you clear your good name, you may resume your commission and fight against me.
That is very gracious of you.
On the other hand, if you choose, like your beloved uncle, to embrace an old cause whose only support is its justice, a cause that is hopeless if it cannot gain the support of such as you, then we would welcome you with open arms and a commission in the Highland Army that marches into glorious battle tomorrow. While you are deciding, why not join our ball? Let the dancing commence!
You are the man of the moment, Edward.
I can't think why.
So, will you accept my favour now?
Yes, Flora, yes. I think so, if...
Yes?
If you will accept my suit.
I imagined your elder proposal was made in delirium, sir.
Well, I am making it again, and I assure you I am not delirious.
Let me put the scarf on you, Edward. Unless this war is won, nothing can be promised, because we may all be dead.
But once it is...
Now, you must excuse me, Edward. I have promised the next dance to the prince.
You're wearing her favour?
Yes, Rose.
So you've decided?
Yes.
Have you no idea what is going on here?
I know that you have grievances against the MacIvers.
This rebellion is doomed unless they take London, whether they win the battle tomorrow or not. And they know they can't reach London without the aid of the English Jacobites. Only 7 Highland clans have risen for the Stuarts this time. There were twice as many in 1715, and they were still defeated.
The Hanoverian army is in France.
And you think it will be left there? They'll be shipping it back as we speak.
And how does this relate to your idea that I'm somehow being used?
Your uncle was a Jacobite. Your father was a Hanoverian loyalist, a government minister. They want to flap you like a flag to rally the English Jacobites.
And what do you want me to do?
What you tried to do before. Leave, while you can.
It's too late. I'm betrothed to Flora. So if you don't mind...
Flora is betrothed to the cause and nothing else, Edward.
Now let me go, please. They're watching.
It was Flora who urged Fergus to kill my father and brothers.
Which is why you hate her. Which is understandable, but it does not justify your lies. Goodbye, madam.
Still, Edward.
The army's leaving, Flora.
But you can't till a pin, you're killed.
Begging your pardon, my lady. Oh. The laird sent me with a claymore and target for Mr. Waverley. And... Is that him? I didn't recognise you, sir. MacIver begs you to come and march off with the clan now if you didn't want to miss the battle.
You're done.
Wish me luck, Flora.
I do. But wait.
Flora, I have to go.
Come here, sir.
What is it?
This...
God's sake. The lobster backs when he wait for you to finish canoodling, Captain Waverley.
Go on, Edward. And kill a redcoat for me.
My God. What a noble sight.
And if it were as noble as it looks, we'd be in London before winter. As it is.
What?
We'll see.
Me?
Well, if you're going to die, you might as well do it with your eyes open. Most of the clans aren't here. The Campbells are fighting for the Hanoverians, as ever. And the others are holding back till it's clear who's winning. And the ones who've turned up are too busy jostling for the prince's favour to bother too much about redcoats.
Favour? For
the honour to fight on the right flank in the battle. The promise of land and honours that won't be kept if we're beaten. Anything. And that's only the chiefs.
Your laddies look bold enough.
Aye, well, they like to show off when there's a crowd. But their heart's not in it.
I thought...
They were here for the prince?
Yes. Yes, I did, rather.
And for Scottish freedom.
Something on those lines.
Well, wake up.
Some of mine are here because they want to kill Campbells, which is only reasonable. Maybe a third came because I asked them. As for the rest...
What?
I had Evan threaten to burn their bothies down if they refused. Oh, now, will you listen to that? Now that's the sound of a real army.
Where?
Follow the coast road, 2 miles, coming over the rise there.
Lord, how many?
Oh, I'd say roughly the same as us, 2,000 or so. But they'll have more cavalry and cannon. And your old regiment is no doubt down there, Waverley. How do you feel about fighting your own?
It'll be hard, but I'll do it.
Me too.
You? What do you mean?
Has it not sunk into that English noddle that half of George's army is Scots?
The Highlanders waited on a ridge as the redcoats formed below them on the plain, some 2 miles away. The sea on one side and a marsh on the other. And then, both waited till night fell, but no one slept.
I wonder how many of these poor fellows will sleep forever before tomorrow night.
Don't think about that. Sharpen your sword, clean your pistol, and empty your head.
And then at 2 a.m. came the call to arms. Someone told of a way round the marsh and onto the plain, and so, as dawn rose, the Highlanders are on the flank of the slowly waking redcoats. Every male old enough to carry a claymore is in the line. The head of every family is an officer or a sergeant. His brothers, sons and tenants form companies or platoons. Each man stands in line of battle according to his importance in the clan. Families will fight and die together today.
They've seen us. Off with your plaid, Waverley, and see your prayers. We're on the move. Forward, MacIvers!
And so, stripped to the waist, the Highland horde moves slowly towards the hastily forming Hanoverians. The clansmen of those days have only one battle tactic, which is to approach within range of the enemy, discharge muskets, lie down quickly while the enemy volleys in return, and then charge before he can reload. And it's a bold, press-ganged, red-coated boy who stands fast when he sees on his flank several thousand half-naked barbarians running towards him, screaming for his blood with claymores swinging, whatever his officer has to say about the matter. And so they run. And Waverley spies a ranking red-coat officer, making a lonely last stand, surrounded by half a dozen screaming clansmen, like dogs round a deer.
No! Stop! Lower your claymores! Evandu, do as I say, damn it!
What are you doing, sir?
Touch this man, and I'll blow your head off, do you hear? Now back off, all of you! Away!
Waverley!
Colonel Gardiner, give me your arm.
Take your filthy, treasonous hands off me!
Evan, give me a hand here.
Waverley helps Colonel Gardiner off the field of Preston Pans, leaving the victorious Highlanders to strip the dead and dying of weapons, ammunition, money, rings, gold teeth, and anything else of value.
Colonel Gardiner. Is there something wrong?
Go to hell.
Well, what's that?
It's none of your bloody business.
Colonel, the Prince has put you in my charge. If you have received any communication from outside, I must see it.
I had this with me when you took me. Now bugger off back to your treasonous savages.
Colonel, I did not think of joining the Jacobites until...
They decked you in their blood-stained tartans and that Highland horse wound with admiration.
Until...
They promised you a peerage and a fat parcel of English land.
Until you stripped me of my commission without cause.
Or... After writing 3 letters telling you to come back because we'd word of Charlie's landing.
I only received one, which was...
And after your recruits staged a mutiny on your say-so.
I already told you I had no communication with them, sir.
I have the letter you wrote to them. Sir, I don't cashier officers without reason. There, take it. It's your handwriting.
It's a good copy of my handwriting.
It had your seal on it.
I lost my seal at... Oh, Lord. Excuse me, Colonel. I have to go and...
Destroy the evidence.
No, I need to get to the bottom of something. Oh, yes. And I better have the letter you were reading when I came in.
It's personal.
If you refuse, I'll have to call the guard and have it taken off you.
Fergus!
It's on, Waverley! We're invading England! We took a vote and we won by that much, but we won, and now I've got an army to organise.
Did you know Ben Lean had forged letters from me?
What letter?
Inciting a mutiny in Gardiner's regiment.
Who told you this?
Gardiner showed me one. And that's my seal, the one I haven't seen since Ben Lean took me.
Well, if it's him, I'll have Lean's hide for it.
There's something else.
Then you'll have to walk with me.
Gardiner.
What about him?
His wife died giving birth, and the baby's life hangs on a thread.
Aye, very sad, but there'll be a lot more dying before this is over.
Nevertheless, I want your permission to put him on a boat to London.
Has he given his parole?
He'll refuse.
Then you need to see the prince, which is where I'm heading now. But
before we do that, I've got something I need to ask you.
Yes?
Rose.
What about her?
You were holding her hands.
When?
At the ball.
Was I?
Is there something between you?
No, of course not. I am betrothed to Flora.
And Rose is betrothed to me. And I will marry her, whatever her wishes may be, because the future of the clan depends on it. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Good. Because if I see you paddling palms with her again, I'll kill you.
No. Where the hell's the prince in this mob of jobbers?
Gardiner says he sent three letters to me, but I only got the last one.
In the middle of the bloody Irish again.
And the letters I sent with your seal never arrived.
He's got no judgment, like all the bloody Stuarts.
Did Lean intercept that too?
Oh, how should I know? Now be quiet, he's coming.
Have you found me any cannon yet, Fergus?
A few, Your Majesty. It's training men to use them that's the problem.
Captain Waverley, how is Colonel Gardiner?
Oh, Waverley wants him released on compassionate grounds.
His wife died in childbirth, and the baby is sickly, sir.
If he gives his parole, I see no problem.
He won't give his parole to what he calls traitors and rebels.
Then there is nothing we can do. Come along, MacIvor.
Releasing Gardiner would play very well in the English journals, Your Majesty.
How so?
You would appear merciful and just, and this in turn would influence those English Jacobites who may still be wondering whether to join you or not.
Excellent point. Let him go, and make sure their journals know it was Charles Stuart who did it. Now, MacIvor, show me this cannon.
There's one boat leaving today. Well, there won't be any after. And don't forget what I said about Rose.
Colonel Gardiner, you're free to go.
What?
That's signed by the Prince. No parole needed. There's a ship leaving on the tide. It'll be the last for some time.
What?
No buts. Grab your things and go.
Why have you done this for me?
Because I'm not a traitor.
I believe that you believe that, but that doesn't alter the facts. This stupid adventure is doomed. The English Jacobites won't rise, and Cumberland's army will crush this rabble. Come with me.
I broke my oath to King George. I am not going to do it twice.
So be it. Thank you.
Gardiner!
Aye?
On my honour, I didn't incite the mutiny.
I believe you. And when this is over, if there's anything I can do...
Do what you can for my uncle.
Of course. But if you decide to abandon these savages, this is a travel pass for Captain Butler, who was killed at Preston Pans, so he no longer needs it. And if you need sanctuary, this is the address of my house in London.
Thank you. Now, for God's sake, go! Go!
Damn, you bloody fool, Waverley! Idiot! Stupid, stupid child!
Or Edward...
Rose, what do you want?
Do you think it was an accident?
What?
Being captured by Gilfillan.
They let me go, Rose. They gave me a horse and Evandu as a guide to lead me past people like Gilfillan.
Or to lead you straight into his arms.
Why on earth would they do that?
So you could be rescued by Ben Lean.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Flora and Fergus were brought up in exile on plot and counterplot. They live and breathe conspiracy.
So you're saying Fergus intercepted Gardiner's letters and Ben Lean forged the one to Howden from me?
If Ben Lean forged it, it was on MacIvor's orders. The Lean's mother was MacIvor's wet nurse. They're brothers from the breast.
Why are you telling me this?
Would you believe me if I said I was fond of you?
No.
Then would you believe revenge?
Yes.
You know why he killed my father and my brothers?
Because they usurped the clan leadership. Primitive way of getting it back, but as I've learned to say, this is the Highlands, not London.
Because they gave out land for rent instead of military service. Because they treated his humblies like men instead of children. Because they started a school and encouraged his taxmen to trade with the lowlands. And all that was death to MacIver.
Why?
Because he needs the clan to fight for the cause. And for that, they have to believe the clan is a family with him at the head. And for that, they have to be kept in ignorance and darkness. Which is why Fergus and Lean and Evandu came upon my father and my brothers in the night while they slept and slaughtered them all and then took me as a hostage.
Waverley, I came to discuss the business you raised before, the letter and...
Rose?
Goodbye, Edward. And good luck.
Gardner is gone.
What was she doing here?
Wishing me goodbye.
And so began the long, unopposed march of the small Highland army into England, during which Waverley chose to ride apart from MacIver rather than risk broaching matters that would have caused a smaller civil war within the larger.
Captain Waverley!
What is it, Evan? Well?
The lads have got the idea that...
What? Oh, spit it out, man.
That you've been courting the laird's betrothed, the Lady Rose.
Where did they get that idea from?
The laird, sir. And you know what the lads think of the laird, so there's an idea amongst them of... Well...
What?
Pitting a musket shot through your head, sir. And that's all I'm going to say. But if I were you, I'd take your leave of this great adventure right now.
Waverley rode as far away as he could before abandoning his kilt, bonnet, claymore and horse at a turnpike inn and caught the last post carriage for London.
Forgive me, sir, but you are a military man, aren't you?
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
Oh, you can't fool me, I knew at once. My husband, Lieutenant Bates, is military, you see, and also you're wearing standard-issue boots. What regiment, pray?
Gardeners, ma'am. But I was wounded at Preston Pans, and I'm now on my way to London for treatment.
Oh? Did you ever meet Waverley, the traitor? He was in Gardeners, wasn't he?
No, no. Or rather, he was. He turned his coat before I was posted. I believe I was his replacement.
Whoa!
What now? What is it, driver?
Militia, ma'am. Checking for rebels and deserters.
Oh. Well, that's a good thing, too, is it not, Mr...
Butler.
Mr. Butler. But there can't be too many hangings when civilization is pitched against savagery, can there? Come, sir, let's make sure these rascals do their duty thoroughly.
Pass your papers through to me, if you please, sir.
How many traitors have you arrested so far, Corporal?
None, ma'am. They say the Scots have turned back. The Ed Cumberland's lads had landed at Dover and skedaddled. Good riddance.
Who are you looking for?
The traitor Waverley. They say he left the Scots and is heading for London. Well, that's all present and correct, sir.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Butler, here we are. Good old London town. Well, I declare... Look at that.
What now, madam?
Oh, the coach house. Plastered with posters that... So they must be expecting him.
Posters of...
Waverley! Everywhere, see? Quite a handsome fellow by the looks. In fact, he bears a striking resemblance to... Mr. Butler! Where are you going? Oh, Lord. I shall faint. That's Waverley! Stop, soldiers! Soldiers, stop him now!
Oh, please, God, let me just get round the corner.
Shoot, you stupid man! Shoot! Shoot!
Oh, for pity's sake, open up, will you?
What's with the bangy?
It's Colonel Gardner at home.
And who wants to know?
Tell him we've... Tell him Edward is here.
Oh. Colonel Gardner, sir. There's a man just fainted on your doorstep. He's all covered in blood.
Once more, our wavering hero lies unconscious and feverish in bed for many weeks, with a wound to the head that the good colonel fears will be mortal.
Waverley, Skadnar, how do you feel?
Where am I?
In my house.
I went to my uncle's, but there was no one there.
I'm afraid your uncle's dead, Waverley.
Oh.
He died awaiting trial, I'm sorry.
When?
Months ago. We thought you'd never regain consciousness.
And the invasion?
Over. Cumberland's men smashed them at Culloden, and now he's butchering clansmen wherever he finds them. Oh. Parliament have proscribed the tartan, banned the carrying of claymores, stripped away the rights of chieftains. The clan system's over, dead as the Middle Ages.
And the prince?
Back in Versailles, toast of all France, for didn't the brainless popinjay come closer to taking England than any frog since the Conqueror?
Is MacIver with him?
MacIver's in Carlisle Castle awaiting execution. All his land and estates have been confiscated.
And Flora? And Rose?
Disappeared. What are you trying to do?
To see Fergus, and then to find Flora. And...
Don't be bloody stupid. You're too weak, and there's still a warrant out for you.
Oh, give me my clothes.
Listen carefully. I'm not without influence, and you're a respectable young man from a good family, but it's too close to events. You need to lie low. I'll get you out of the country. Let their lust for revenge die down, and then when the time's right, you repent, claim you were duped by wicked men, and we'll get you a pardon.
I am going back to Scotland. So are you going to help me or not?
And so as soon as he was able to walk, young Waverley was heading north again, with a pass in yet another name, signed by Colonel Gardiner.
The cause was just, and I knew the stakes, Waverley, so I can't complain about the forfeit, but since you're here, you can grant the condemned man a last wish, if you will.
I will if I can, Fergus.
You'll be a rich man now your uncle's gone.
I suppose so.
Then use it to help the clansmen whose tartan you wore. With me dead and their weapons taken, there'll be nobody to save them from the money grubbers. Will you be their protector?
I'll try.
And will you look after Flora and Rose?
Yes, but nobody knows where they are.
They'll be in the caves.
Which caves?
Show any MacIver this seal and ask.
In exchange for one thing.
Which is?
The truth. Did you tell Lean to forge the letter to Gardiner?
Sometimes a true cause requires a lie.
And did you persuade Flora to engage my affections in order to recruit me?
No one can persuade my sister of anything she does not wish to do.
So it was her idea.
We needed the English Jacobites to rise up. We thought you'd help that.
So she never felt anything for me.
Ask her yourself when you find her. But you must excuse me now. For that's the man who wants my head to decorate the city walls. I wish I could apologise to you, Waverley, but I'm afraid I'd do it all again.
Next day, Waverley passed underneath the spiked head of Fergus MacIver and followed its blind stare back to the Highlands. But this was a Highland hell. Every village burnt out, heaps of bayoneted cattle stinking to high heaven, and everywhere the hollow eyes of fatherless children and their sullen, ravaged mothers followed him. But in MacIver country, not a one had betrayed their chief's sister, with whom they had shared what little food was left, as she hid with Rose.
Flora! It's Edward! Flora!
She's not here.
Rose?
She tried to persuade the clansmen who escaped from Culloden to follow her into the hills. No one did.
And where is she now?
On her way to France. Did you think she'd wait for you?
No.
Why don't you join her?
I think that would be rather foolish, don't you?
You know what I think.
But I have to leave the country, for a while at least.
That would be sensible.
Rose?
Yes?
Will you come with me? Rose, will you?
What's there to stay for?
Waverley and Rose Bradwardine were eventually married in Rotterdam. But it was many years before the efforts of Colonel Gardiner secured him a pardon, whereupon he returned to Scotland, bought back the MacIver estate with his inheritance, and kept his promise to the original owner by moving all his clansmen from land to which they had no title and on which they could therefore never be secure, to the coast, where they could learn to fish, to fight in King George's new Highland regiments, or failing that, to emigrate. And so Edward Waverley lived happily ever after, growing fat and rich and complacent, like the sheep with which he replaced MacIver's clansmen. In Waverley, Rupert Evans played Waverley, Gardiner, Christian Rodska, Flora, Alison Mackenzie, Rose, Olivia Morgan, Fergus, Forbes Masson, Evan Dhu, Mark Bonner, Charles Edward Stewart, Joe McFadden, Gilfillan, Robert Hudson, with David Tennant as Walter Scott. All other parts were played by members of the cast. The music was composed and performed by Ross Hughes and Esben Chalva. Waverley by Walter Scott was adapted for radio by Mike Harris, produced and directed by Clive Brill, and was a Pacificus production for BBC Radio 4.